The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of these, the least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be ever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Good morning, All Saints.
Good morning.
My name is Brian Raich. I serve as the rector of St. Mary of the Harbor in Provincetown. It's a joy to be with you this morning. How many of you know where Provincetown is? Of course. Provincetown is in Massachusetts, home of the New England Patriots, today's Super Bowl champions, hopefully. Now, I might have lost half of you already, but try to stay with me. We're at the very tip of Cape Cod. St. Mary's is a small oceanside church in a town known for artists, fishermen, a vibrant LGBTQ+ community, and those who have come looking for light when life has been heavy. We are a place where the land, the sea, and the sacred meet. Each winter, half of our community comes here to Fort Lauderdale and Wilton Manors. Half of our parish goes to Palm Springs in California. And the remaining half braves the cold winter in Provincetown. Now that math doesn't add up, but you get what I mean. So I turned 60 years old this past Wednesday. Thank you. It's a number that I dreaded. So I thought to myself, how can I feel younger? I know, I'll go to Florida. That's where all the old people go, right? I'm bound to feel young, especially if we stay in Wilton Manors. So my parishioners have invited my husband, Lauren, and I to come and visit for a while now. So we decided a birthday is a good time to celebrate, to come to Florida, and to be with friends and family. And David Forrester asked, well, while you're here, maybe you could preach at All Saints on Sunday. We're in the middle of a rector search. So here I am, here to preach, but I'm not applying for the job. Although, my parish shoveled 6 inches of snow this morning, so if you still have an application, maybe I'll apply. But more seriously, February is Black History Month. And while it centers on the lives and witness of Black Americans, It also tells the story of the civil rights movement, a movement that called people of conscience across racial lines to make a stand, to decide where they stand in life. So I grew up in New Hampshire, and recently I reposted a provocative statement on Facebook by Bishop Robert Hirschfeld of the Episcopal Church of New Hampshire. You may have seen his post, it went pretty viral nationally. One of the stories he lifted up was that of Jonathan Daniels, the 26-year-old Episcopal seminarian. Jonathan had been studying theology in Cambridge, Massachusetts, when he heard Martin Luther King's call for clergy and seminarians to come to Selma. He went what was to be a short-term commitment, but he stayed a lot longer. In August of 1965, Jonathan was arrested with other civil rights workers in Alabama and was held in jail under harsh conditions. When they suddenly were released, they walked together to a small store to buy something cold to drink. Walking beside him was 17-year-old black activist named Ruby Sales. Outside the store, a white man raised a shotgun and aimed it directly at Ruby. In that moment, Jonathan Daniels stepped in front of Ruby and pushed her out of the way. The gun fired, and Jonathan was killed instantly. He quite literally placed his body between the powers of the world and those who are most vulnerable. Unfortunately, Ruby lived. Bishop Hirschfeld, reflecting on all this and reflecting on our own national events, challenged his clergy. I told the clergy of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire that we may also need to enter that same witness. I've asked them to get their affairs in order, to make sure their wills are written. Because it may be now that it is no longer time for statements, but for us with our bodies to stand between the powers of the world and those who are most vulnerable. Now that doesn't sound like polite religion. That sounds like the gospel. Lived, embodied, and costly. So in preparation for my 60th birthday, I got my affairs in order. I updated my will, as Bishop Hirschfeld commended. But the real question is this. Am I willing, if it ever comes to it, to place my own body between the powers of this world and those who are most vulnerable? Now, I'll be honest with you. Spiritually, the answer is yes. Physically, I honestly don't know. I pray I'm never called to that kind of witness. But I do know this. Following Jesus has never been about safety. It's always been about faithfulness. Now, as the Church of All Saints, you know well the stories of saints who risked and gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. Even this morning, we're surrounded by their witness. In the window up to my left is Joan of Arc, a young woman who stood on conscience and conviction, trusted the voice that she believed was God's, and paid for it with her life. And what unites all these saints and all of us? The love of Jesus and the love of his gospel. If you're someone who hopes to practice the kind of resistance that leads to justice and meaningful reform, you need to climb to higher ground. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And like Moses of old, Jesus hands over what he knows of God. His teaching is literally a higher ground teaching. Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," the Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount continues this week. "You are the light of the world, so let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God." I think at one time or another, we've all faced darkness. Parts of our lives that need healing, mistakes we've made in the past, bad decisions, social structures that need change, personal, social sin, I think that's why the Sermon on the Mount is so powerful. When you climb to higher ground with Jesus and you let your light shine, it's possible to overcome the darkness of the world. It's possible to find healing and reconciliation. The season invites us to remember stories that shape us and to listen more deeply to the voices that maybe we have been taught not to hear. This week, two witnesses came to mind for me, Martin Luther King Jr. and Ruby Sales, Black Christians who climbed to higher ground and let their light shine. Martin Luther King never put his light under a bushel basket. How could someone in their 30s affect such radical change in our nation? He embraced the nonviolent teaching of Jesus, shaped by the Sermon on the Mount. He climbed to the mountaintop, to higher ground, and put into practice the faith that he professed. On the night before he died, Martin Luther King gave a speech that has come to be known as, "I've been to the mountaintop." He didn't know he'd be assassinated the next day, but he did know where he stood on higher ground. He was 39 years old. I was 2 years old. I don't remember this. But he said, "I don't know what will happen now. We have some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter with me because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I'd like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And if he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land." Ruby Sales, another Black Christian who climbed to higher ground, and she let her light shine. She was so traumatized by seminarian Jonathan Daniels' murder that she nearly lost her ability to speak for 7 months. Yet Ruby refused to be silenced. Despite death threats made to her and her family, Ruby resolved to testify at Tom Coleman's trial for murdering Jonathan Daniels. He was acquitted by a jury of 12 white men. In 1998, Ruby went on to attend Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. That's the successor institution to the seminary that Daniels had attended. She received a Master's of Divinity, where she specialized in feminist, African-American, and liberation theology, with an emphasis on race, class, and gender. Ruby founded the Spirit House Project, the nonprofit inner-city mission dedicated to Jonathan Daniels. Starting in 2007, the Spirit House Project documented over 2,000 state-sanctioned deaths against Black people. 98% of those were unarmed. Always a sturdy and consistent advocate for racial justice, people of color, lesbian and gay people, women and seniors, Sales has made the struggle for racial justice one of the centerpieces of her work. And she's still alive today, and she continues to let her light shine. So friends, for a few minutes this morning, we climb to higher ground with Jesus, with Martin Luther King, Jonathan Daniels, Ruby Sales. They challenge each of us to be the light of the world, to shed light on racism, discrimination, and injustice, to be forces of resistance and to speak truth to power. The hard part is that we eventually have to come down from the mountain. But the good news is that God provides us with a feast upon our return. Having climbed up and back down the mountain, we now sit at this table to be nourished and fed so we can carry Christ's Sermon on the Mount to those that we will encounter this week. Martin Luther King said, "The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy." My Floridian friends, in our own times of challenge and controversy, Jesus asks not what do you believe, but where do you stand? Esther, can I get an amen up in here? Amen.
Amen.